certainly don't want to squelch the spirit, but you know, I can't wait to get out of this place today, because I'm going to tell everybody that y'all are singing in concert next Sunday morning at the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. Come see us. And that sounded good, and I know we're going to do just fine. And by the way, it's so special that we all gather, all our services, all our people, for one worship service a year at Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. It's so wonderful. All the different singing groups are involved. And if you haven't been, please make plans to come. And if you have been, you can tell others about it and invite them as well. We have two scripture readings, and I'll go first with the one from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Our second scripture comes from Acts, the first chapter, verses 6 through 8. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?' He replied, 'It is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. How many of you growing up ever participated in show and tell in school? Do you know if they still have show and tell in school? They call it something different. They call it share. Show and share. We come a long ways. But you know what? It's basically the same thing, isn't it? And the one thing that I noticed about show and tell, at least my experience of it, was that we all wanted to do it. We all had something we wanted to show. We all had something we wanted to tell. And it was amazing what people would show and what they would tell. And we come to this time where Jesus says, "I want you to show and tell for me. I want you to be my witness." And so often, you know, when people hear that word witness, it's a lot like the word evangelism. We kind of cringe a little bit because perhaps we've experienced it in a way that's maybe hurt us, or in a negative way that we don't want to participate in, or just intimidated by thinking, well, we're not good enough to be a witness, or we're not gifted enough. And so we shrink back often when we think about me, a witness, or me, an evangelist, or me to have something to share with the world. But I want to tell you something. Just think of it as show and tell. Many people will bring their wallet out, take some pictures, and show the pictures of their grandchildren, and then tell stories. You know, it ought to be that way with us in the Lord. We ought to develop our own, I'm going to say, life message to share. And our life message to share really consists of many different parts. It has four different parts to it. I'm going to walk you through the four different parts. And as we do this, you're going to see that you really do have a message to share. And you can share it in your own way. The first part of this four-part life message that you have to share is simply your testimony. And it's nothing more than the story, of how you came to experience God's love. Nothing more than the story of how did you get here? How did you get here this morning? There's a story that each of us have to tell that has to do with why we're even here this morning. But your testimony can consist of something like, you know, this is the way my life was before I accepted the Lord, and then this was what it was like when I was convicted of God's love and forgiveness and his call for discipleship. And this is what it was like when I accepted his love and his forgiveness and the call for discipleship. And this is what my life's been like since then. Maybe that's a little bit too detailed for some of you, but I think all of you can think of something that you can share that has to do with something you have experienced, something that you have seen. You are the authority on your own story. You are the authority on your own experiences. You know, Jesus didn't say, "I'm looking for a lawyer." No, he just said, "I'm looking for a witness." A witness is nothing more than someone who says, "You know, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just here to share with you. This is what I've seen and this is what I've experienced." So you have your own testimony, your own personal story. And then the second thing that you have is you have your life lessons. You know, what are the life lessons that God has taught you? For example, we learn life lessons through many experiences in life. What has the Lord taught me through my failures? What has the Lord taught me through my times of lack of money? What has the Lord taught me during those times of pain, sorrow, or depression? What has God taught me during those times of just simply having to wait, the waiting periods of life? What has God taught me during those times of illness? What has God taught me during those times of disappointment? What has God taught me from my family, from my church, from my small group, from my relationships with others? What has God taught me through my critics? My life story consists of four different parts. It consists of my own testimony. It consists of my life lessons. You know, we can learn from one another. Matter of fact, we all can learn from Solomon. Solomon was known as a very wise man. He had many different experiences, including sorrow and disappointment. And in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes, we have much of the wisdom of Solomon. We can glean from his experiences and from his life lessons. But we all have life lessons that we can share. You know, here's one thing I've learned during the times I've just simply had to wait. A time of a waiting period, of not knowing what's going to happen next, being eager for something to happen next, but nothing is happening, and I'm just seeming to having to wait upon the Lord. And, you know, waiting can be hard sometimes. But what I learned is those times of waiting where it seems like nothing is really going on, perhaps even a waste of time, I've learned that those are the times when God does his best work in me. And that God can't really do anything through me until he does a work in me. And I can tell you about that time in my life where I had to wait upon the Lord. And I didn't like it. But then I came to embrace it as a time simply to learn, to see, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it you want to do within me? And then I look back and I see how God was able to use me, because during that time of waiting, I allowed him to do something in me. And so now it was a valuable time to wait. I hope that I don't have to learn all these lessons all over again. I hope that I can remember the next time that I go through a waiting time, that it's a time where I can trust God, that he's doing something within me. He's preparing me for something. I have so many life lessons. God's blessed me with 63 wonderful years. So many experiences. I've learned from your experiences. We learn from one another. That's part of our life message. Because through these experiences, we learn something about God. We learn something about who God is and who we are and what our relationship is with God. They're our experiences. The third thing in our life message that we can share is what I call our passions. The things that we're so deeply involved with, the things that we care so much about. You see, what God does, God's heart is broken over several things. God has his things that he truly cares about. And God places those things on our hearts too. And we call them godly passions. We don't all have all the godly passions, but we have some of them. For example, I was reading a book the other day about a person who is his godly passion is helping orphans around the world. And it started a ministry. It's grown and grown and grown. And if you think about it, I don't have a lot of experience with orphanages or with orphans, other than my nephew, who was in an orphanage in Russia, and my brother and his wife adopted him as a baby. But I think about how this particular person has upon his heart a heart for all the orphans of this world, those children that have been displaced and who have lost their families, and has a heart for caring for the orphan. When the scriptures, you see, it says that God is the God of the fatherless, the God of the widow, and that God's heart is for those persons. And so this person who really truly cares about caring for orphans has a life message, because this person can say, you see, that's what God cares about, and this is what I care about. So often our godly passions have to do with causes or needs in the world. You know, I simply ask, you know, myself from time to time, over what is my heart broken? Is my heart broken over the things that Christ's heart is broken over? And then I can't respond to everything, but what might God be calling me one thing to do? Well, not only is it causes, but it also has to do with particular interest. You know, you may be passionate about music. You may be passionate about art or passionate about sports like me. And God gives you these sorts of interests and passions as well, because you get connected with other people. If you travel in the circle of artists, you meet other artists and you share your passion of art. But then that becomes the foundation upon which you can share about the greatest artist of all, God and God's creation. And it gives you that opportunity to tell others about God. Yeah, almost anything can become a bridge that is built between you and another person, across which Christ can walk. And it's not our job to convict anyone. It's just our job to establish relationships with persons and to be open and to listen and to share with them and allow Jesus to do the conviction and to do the saving. You know, I care a lot about sports. I'm involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, not on a daily basis, not on a weekly basis, but once a year I go to the fall banquet of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Triangle FCA group sponsors. And sometimes I'll think about, now who is it that I know that really likes sports? And they would enjoy this, because the speakers are really good. This year the speaker would be Webb Simpson, who's a PGA golf pro. But I think about not only persons who might enjoy it because they like sports, but I think about those persons that could hear from another person who loves sports, who would say something like this: I'm not a golfer who just happens to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ who just happens to be a golfer. Because the most important thing I can tell you about my life and what I've experienced and what I see is the Lord. And it could be that someone who is yet to come to faith could hear that from another person who really cares about golf. Could there be anything more important than golf? And I've seen persons come to faith through the sharing of sports, the interest, the common bond that we have, and then hearing from another person who's involved in sports. And I heard a wonderful testimony from the former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills many years ago. I can't remember his name, but he had the distinguished record of losing more Super Bowls than anybody else, I think. And, you know, that's really something to be proud of, isn't it? But, you know what he said about that? He said one of his life lessons was that people sometimes never listen more closely to a Christian than when they see them lose or suffer. Because then they say the real thing comes out. How do those people act when they've lost? How do those people act when they hurt? And this particular person, his wife had a miscarriage. And how do these people act when tragedies happen? He said God taught him that there's no wasted experiences, and I'll come to experiences in a while. But sports, I've found out that just getting involved in sports and finding other people who like sports and then finding a way that that can become a vehicle to lead them to Christ is a wonderful thing. What are your passions? It can be about causes. It can be about interest. But, you know, God places upon all our hearts the things that He cares about so that together we can care about what God cares about. And what does God care about? God cares about hurting people, lost people. He cares about people who are not connected, who don't have families. He cares about people who are abused. You heard the mission moment by Ann Huffman about Interact Ministry. And, you know, that may not be for you. It's for someone else. My passions may not be your passions. Your passions may not be my passions. But together we all have a life message to share. Because it gives us an opportunity to tell people about God and about what God cares about. Now, the fourth part of this life message that you have to share, not only do you have your story, which is yours to tell, but you have your passions that you care about, and you have I said something else along that line too? You also have to share the gospel story itself, which is, you have your testimony, your life lessons, and your passions, and then the last thing, the fourth thing, just now came to me, the fourth thing here, is basically the gospel story itself. Now, I had to be very careful about that because I can get off on tangents. But the gospel story itself. We all ought to have a kind of an elevator speech to where if we got in an elevator and we were going to level 5 and somebody else got on the elevator, they were going to level 5 and they just simply said, you know, I hear people talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. What is it? Well, you don't have forever and forever to tell them what it's about, and they certainly don't want to hear about that anyway if you're going to go on and on like I do. So you need to have an elevator speech. And, you know, it's just enough to whet somebody's appetite, something that's truthful, something that's pithy, something that you can say that for you makes a lot of sense. It's the way that you share. What is the gospel story? You could just simply say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. I mean, you could share that. And like I said, you don't have to say everything, but something to get started. We have that story, the story of Jesus Christ to share. You know, Paul said, you know, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and forgiving them of their trespasses. And He has entrusted to us the ministry now of reconciliation, of bringing people together, of bringing this world together, that through Jesus Christ and the cross and the forgiveness that we have, the boundaries and the barriers can be broken and we can be reconciled to God and to one another. That was a passion of Paul, particularly with bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together. In many other ways to share what the gospel story is. But here's another way that I like to share it. God has not abandoned this world or human beings to death and despair. But through Jesus Christ, He offers hope of new life and a new creation. Things are not the way they're supposed to be right now, but they're also not the way that one day we know things will be. The kingdom of God was breaking into this life in Jesus Christ as He walked the face of the earth. The rule and reign of God over human hearts. The kingdom of God was coming into the world in Jesus Christ. And one day it will come in its fullness. And that's why we pray, Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sharing the gospel story, find a way that's comfortable for you. But basically, one of the ways that's comfortable for me is I just simply say, listen, the good news that we have to share is good news for everybody or is not good news at all. Tell me about what your hurts are. I got good news for you. Tell me about what your hopes for. Tell me about yourself and what you're hungry for. That's what the gospel's about. It's good news for everybody. Find a way to share it. Don't be intimidated. And so my life message, my show and tell, is simply my own personal story. As simple as going to church one day at 6 years old with my mother and climbing the steps, and at the top of the steps was the pastor, and the pastor knelt down to shake my hand, but he looked me in the eye and he said, "William, it's so good to see you and your mother here today in worship." And I look back now and I can see that was God calling me. I couldn't name it then. I couldn't really tell anything about it. But part of my story has to do with that experience when I was 5 years old. Your personal story, your life lessons. I shared a little bit about the life lesson of my waiting times. And then, of course, your godly passions. Things you truly care about that God has placed upon your heart. And then about the gospel story itself. Now, here's what I think. That God has placed us in places that we need to be, with people that we need to be every day, that need to hear our life message. Because ultimately it's not about us, but it's about God. A simple rule of thumb. Ask persons to tell you about their story. Be willing to listen to others. Earn the right to be heard. Live your life right. Be truthful and honest. Show that you can walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Earn the right to receive an audience. And somebody somewhere will say, "I've been meaning to ask you, but I've been watching you. Can you tell me more about what you believe?" And you know what? God has already used you in so many places, so many circumstances. So why not open your heart up now and say, "Use me even more." I'm simply going to close by a verse from Scripture and an invitation to prayer. Paul wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Now, this is the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. But this is what Paul wrote. "My life is worth nothing unless I use it for the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness.